Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Hadlin, Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino coming to you from the Radio Bunker. Join us on the horn as he does every Monday morning. Our good friend Matt Shepard, play-by-play voice of the Detroit Tigers on Fox Sports Detroit. Shep, my friend, thanks for joining us for another Crosstalk. How are you, partner? You doing all right?
Busy weekend for you, AB. How was it?
It was fantastic. Are you kidding me? Michigan finally beats Ohio State at something. Oh my goodness, Shep. I was nervous. I was sweating all of Saturday night leading into the game yesterday against the Buckeyes. Tough road matchup there. 4-3. First time these two programs met up inside the top five. My nerves were shot, and then I had a game that tipped off at 2:00, so we had another small monitor so we could keep track of what was going on. Oh my goodness, it was nuts.
Yeah, you know, what an impressive win, though, huh? I mean, they scored 92 points against a team that I think they had only given up 80 or more four other times. And yet they come out and look, I mean, when you look at the way Wagner played, you would say, and I know Michigan's really deep, but the way he played, you're thinking, this is going to be a tough one, right? And yet Shaunae Brown comes in, and how good was he in the first half? And how great was Dickinson in the second half? And you and I have talked about this an awful lot. You know, I think he had 22 and 9, and I think he was 6 for 6 from the stripe. It's just a really impressive team. And the more you watch them, AB, and you recognize, let's not forget, 23 days off, coming back, winning two good games the way they did against two different styles of teams, and then to win in Columbus. And I know the crowd's not there, and it's that type of energy has to be manufactured. But look, you go in there where you haven't won in what, since 2014, and you get the job done the way they did by pumping in 92 against that defense and scoring 47, I think, in the second half. Really impressed with Michigan. And anybody who's not, and look, I think they're going to lose again, but I think, you know, if they don't lose, you know, one, two more, they're going to be a one seed, and deservedly so, as long as, you know, in the Big Ten tournament, they don't get bounced in round one. Deservedly so. That win yesterday in Columbus against the fourth best team in the country that can score with the best of them and has some really good guard play is one of the better wins Michigan has had all season long. I mean, look at the strength of schedule and everything else that Ohio State brings on their resume to the NCAA tournament party. That win for Michigan, marquee victory.
Huge. And I saw it, I believe it was Anthony Wright, the Michigan alum, who had said this might be Juwan's best win so far in his tenure at Michigan. A lot of people look back to the battle for Atlantis against, you know, Gonzaga, and of course, like Gonzaga. That's an awesome victory, but this is different. It's a rivalry game. It's on the road. Both teams ranked in the top five. A lot of familiarity here within the programs. Like this one felt different, felt a little magical. Maybe the turning point for me, Shep, was late in the shot clock in the second half, and it was Isaiah Livers with the basketball is being tightly guarded. He made like a sidearm pass to Eli Brooks, who made a great cut to the basket because the offense had gotten a little stagnant. It was that back cut right there. Eli gets the ball. He finishes the game with 17. And I know that, you know, for this team, they're so unselfish. It doesn't matter who you talk about. Everyone's going to be happy because at the end of the day, the team's 16-1, and it's we before me, and that's fine. But Eli Brooks is a guy that we don't necessarily talk about a whole lot, but you saw in that loss, the one loss that they have to Minnesota where Eli wasn't available, he means a whole heck of a lot to this ball club.
Yeah, he does. I think it's a really good point. I still think, it doesn't mean that they can't win without him, but you're right. He brings a steadiness, you know, a comfortability, a confidence, I think, to the team when he's on the floor, and there's some balance. I thought one of the key plays, too, was I thought it was a clear offensive foul on a shoving call. I think it was Washington, who was fantastic for Ohio State, against Eli Brooks. I mean, he extended his arm. He shoved him right around his waist. I thought an offensive foul for sure. They called it a block, and it was a three-point play opportunity. And that was an opportunity right there for Michigan to say, you know what? I mean, look, we've been off for a long time. You and I talked about this last week. We're coming home to Iowa, okay? I think they play Iowa next. Now, Iowa's a really good basketball team, as we all know, ranked 11th in the country until we see what's going on later today. And you know what? Let's just wrap things up and get back to work. They didn't do that, you know? I mean, this team fights, man. This team gets back in games because of its defense. And if we want to go back to old adages about teams that are dangerous in the NCAA tournament, what are they? Well, great guard play, and Smith, and you brought up Brooks, right? And to a certain extent, they bring on other guys, and they're really special too, and they really do a nice job of keeping the balance. And then veteran leadership. I mean, they've got two transfers who've been outstanding, and Isaiah Livers and Eli Brooks out there. They've got guys who have been there, done that, and there's a purpose. This team is really dangerous because of all those things, plus its depth, and plus, as you know, because you're there at every home game, the togetherness is evident with this team. And there's something to be said for that. They're all for one and one for all, and it's pretty special to watch.
It is. And, you know, Shep, you're talking about the ingredients to make a run there in the NCAA tournament, the ability to defend, you know, when the tournament comes around and you're in a quote-unquote, you know, one-and-done sort of playoff atmosphere, and the half-court game becomes so important and the game slows down a little bit from a transition standpoint. You know, Michigan can settle in and they can guard you. Or if you want to speed it up, they can run with you too. And I thought that they really showed their versatility offensively. Like, yeah, they surrendered a lot of points, but they got in a shootout and they were fine and they were great.
Well, look at even Austin. Austin Davis, and I know it's, you know, he probably only played like 10 minutes or so, but he had a couple of big buckets, had really nice footwork, right? We mentioned about Brown. I think Brandon Johns could get a little bit more run. He didn't play a ton. I think John Beilein said this last week, Juwan Howard has kind of shortened that bench, and rightfully so. You go eight, you go nine guys, and I think Ohio State only played, nine or 10 guys. Or opportunity to elevate your game, absolutely, but wanting to play them, saying bring it on, that would be a dangerous thing for a lot of these folks to say, hey, you know what, I want Michigan. No, you don't. Michigan's got too much on the line. But like I said, I mean, it's a really good lesson on how you overcome a lot of adversity in a tough situation. Great passing inside, primarily to Dickinson. Eli Brooks, you know, that Washington, as I mentioned, I think it was a step back three now that I think about it, where he clearly got away with a shove off. Overcoming that kind of stuff, love the way they're playing the game of basketball. And even if you don't like Michigan, you can at least respect and appreciate how they're going about their craft.
He's Matt Shepard, play-by-play voice of the Detroit Tigers on Fox Sports Detroit, joining us for our crosstalk here on this Monday. And, Shep, what else was on your television this weekend as the Michigan basketball team obviously might have been a little bit of a priority? What else were you watching this weekend?
Well, it doesn't get any better than going Michigan winning at Ohio State and then watching golf. And right now, Dan is doing two thumbs up, right, because of Pebble Beach. First of all, that course looked like an absolute monster. But then you see Max Homa win in extra holes over Tony Finau, and he's got the BetMGM shirt on. How cool was that to watch? All these guys they're getting all this money from all these endorsements. Max Homa, he's got the BetMGM on his left crest, and he comes home with the victory, his second victory of his PGA career, and he does it basically on his home course because he's from nearby there. It's a special place for him. Tiger Woods, it's the sponsor of the Genesis Open, and Tiger Woods has been an awful lot. It was a lot of good theater, but it was frustrating theater too for some of those guys, and I felt bad for some of those guys. And this is bound to happen in golf, you know. I mean, but when you've got the lead on a Thursday, right? You have the lead on a Thursday, and you're thinking, okay. I should be winning this tournament. I should win this tournament. And that's exactly what happened until there was a little couple hiccups by Sam Burns. And I kind of felt bad for him, but what a great win for Max Homa to win on the third playoff hole and give BetMGM some love on CBS and national TV throughout.
Yeah, Sam Burns started off round one, 64, round two, 66, round three, 74. And if you've ever played golf before, you know that as the minute you start feeling good about something, that's when everything goes to hell in a handbasket. At least that's what it does for us amateurs.
Look, pressure is all very subjective, but it sure seemed like the pressure or a couple of shots. Let's not use the word pressure because there's pressure in everything. But it seemed like there were a few times, more than a few times, when I was watching, where some guys had some opportunities to really take flight. Jordan Spieth was one of them, and it was a massive struggle over the weekend. There was a couple others with Dustin Johnson, just didn't have it clicking on Sunday, when I thought he's one of those guys that would would definitely make a run. Patrick Cantlay, really rough weekend for him too. But what a really good feeling for a guy like Max Homa to do what he did and have the top leaderboard. The cool stuff.
Yeah, Max.
Matt Fitzpatrick, the other one, right? Matt Fitzpatrick rolling and then just crumbled early on the final round yesterday. So I kind of feel bad for him too.
Max Homa, winner in a playoff. He goes 1-under in the two playoff holes against Tony Finau. So some great theater there for the Genesis on Sunday. And obviously, you know, we're talking basketball, talking a little PGA Tour because it's almost that time of year. Well, I say it's almost that time of year, but we have, you know, a minimum of like 8 to 10 inches of snow everywhere all across the great state of Michigan right now. So we can think thoughts, right, as we get closer to March and the thaw. But Shep, I got to ask you, where are you located at right now? Where are you at while we're on this call?
Yeah, I'll be going to Florida pretty soon, but until then, we're still at home, so we're knee deep into the snow just like you are, making sure we're using that snow thrower around the driveway.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that right now I don't have to feel too bad and that you can suffer along with us, because you know, you'd be getting ready to make that trip down to Lakeland to get ready for spring training. We got to see some video, got to see some pictures of the guys as they take the field. Miguel Cabrera, you know, we always joke around, he's in the best shape of his life because he's 37 years old, and I guess at 37 that would be the best shape of his life. So I keep all things in the present. But is this as you start to look forward to getting down there to spring training with some of the more recent signings, I guess, what are you most looking forward to outside of, you know, obviously getting back to the park and getting kind of back into the swing of things and maybe feeling some resemblance of normalcy here? But from this team, this roster, what are you most looking forward to?
Well, from the people I talk to, Wilson Ramos has really been an impressive guy. You talk about people coming in the best shape of their life. He told us that he was playing almost a 275 a year ago, and he's a 245. Because of a diligent workout and because of an Anthony Bellino diet. So that's really good stuff, right? And you hope he gets an opportunity to really relate to the pitchers. He's got to get to know these pitchers quickly. But all of them seem to enjoy throwing to him. And he's made some adjustments. He's leaner and he's in better shape, and he has to be because he's going down on one knee now. So he'll receive with nobody on base. He'll receive with a left knee down. That is not something that he was used to doing, and for some catchers that can be a difficult situation. I personally think, you know, AJ Hinch probably has a really good idea of what his team is going to look like. There's a couple of you and I talk Lions football an awful lot. We know when NFL coaches get together, you know, 54 guys, they're going to have, you know, they probably have a pretty good idea at training camp about 47 of them. I think AJ Hinch has got a pretty good idea outside of maybe three spots or so on his team, what he's going to bring north for April 1st game against Shane Bieber and Cleveland. But the good thing is that he told us this week that, and this weekend, that these guys, what's impressed him most is these guys have been throwing bullpens so much in the off season that by the time they get to Lakeland, they've hit the ground running, and we don't have to ease them into much, because they have been taking this craft so seriously, because these guys are in such good shape and their arms are in such good shape. And that's refreshing, you know, for a manager who's been around a while. Now, all these guys are trying, Anthony, to, you know, impress a new staff. But when you can be as ready as they are, and that's the word he used, AJ told me, he said, look, their readiness and how much they threw in the off season to get ready for camp is really what has impressed him so far. And guys are making impressions. He said they were doing some guys were able to take some ground balls, even though full squad hasn't reported yet, but Jamer Candelario there, Willie Castro was there, for example, and they're taking ground balls. Well, usually they're pretty, you know, they're pretty talkative. Nico Goodrum was out there. They're pretty talkative. Well, they weren't there with AJ Hinch and some of his staff looking on, because those guys don't know him just yet. So everyone's ready to make that impression and try to put their best foot forward. And so far it looks like AJ Hinch and the staff have been impressed with the way guys have approached spring training.
You know, Shep, and I wondered, and maybe this is something that eventually will come out, but, you know, when talking to these players and talking about the preparedness, the readiness to go for this upcoming season, I wonder if the COVID stoppage in shortened season kind of made guys reflect a little bit and maybe you know, maybe put the turn the stove up a notch on players across the league where they realize like, hey, in an instant, this can all be gone. And you don't usually realize that until maybe the end of your career. But maybe it kind of shifted guys' gears mentally to say, you know what, I'm gonna get in better shape this year. And I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm actually going to be about it. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to go every day at a little bit of a different gear because I know what it's like to get this taken from me and the unknown of if I'll get back out there. I wonder if that's played a role in these guys' preparation in the offseason.
Well, I can tell you this. I mean, I read some articles about Michael Kopech of the White Sox, and he said as much, right? If you read a little bit about Ian Kroll, who used to be with Tigers for a while back in 14 and 15, and then was traded from Detroit to Atlanta for Cameron Maven a long time ago, but last year played in putting the uniform back on again is something that, you know, means an awful lot to him. Talking with, you know, Michael Fulmer and how much, because a guy who's had to deal with some injuries, right? You talk to a young player like Zach Hess. Zach Hess is a really good-looking player out of LSU, drafted by the Tigers in the seventh round in 2019. How he went about the offseason during COVID, he said there's a couple of ways you can look at it, like, oh, woe is me, or you can work on some things that at this time during his career, he wouldn't have been able to work on because you're doing something else. Well, he looked at it in the latter, put on 15 pounds of muscle, 4,000 calories a day, did a lot of deadlifting, got stronger, put on some more weight that allows him to get into camp and start to compete a little bit, even though he's not going to have a spot on this roster. He can still learn and he can still try to get better throughout camp. I think you're right about that. I think there's a lot of guys who looked at it and said, you know what? I miss putting this jersey on. I wish I not that they took it for granted, AB, but I mean, I think there's some things that they're like, wait a minute, this is still my life. This is what I've known. This is some of the things. These are some of the things that mean the most to me. And they've come back with a little bit renewed vigor in their careers to try and make some things happen and appreciate the sport and appreciate the fans and everything that's associated with the game of baseball.
I really do think, Shep, for all sports across the board, the stoppages, the pauses, the uncertainty, I think you know, like you said, it's a renewed vigor. It's a renewed sense of urgency, maybe, and a renewed love for their sport. He is Matt Shepard, play-by-play voice of the Detroit Tigers on Fox Sports Detroit, joining us here on this Monday for Crosstalk. Shep, my friend, as always, thank you so much for your time. It's great to hear from you, and we'll talk next week.
Have a great week, my friend. Good to talk to you.